Jamuna Jiravana Jari Jaya Radha Madhava Punjabi Hari Jaya Radha Madhava Punjabi Hari Gopi Jala Balaba Yudivana Dari Jasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Punjabi Hari Jaya Radha Madhava Punjabi Hari Prabhupada Jaya 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 Om Vishnu Prada Paramahansa Paravajakacharya Astatata Sata Sri Srimad Srila Bhakti Vedanta Goswami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Om Vishnupada Paramahansa Parivajakacharya Asasata Sata Sri Srimad Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Prem Chikaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakti Vrinda Ki Jai Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopinath Shamkund Radhakund Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Mayapur Dham Ki Jai Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Jai Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Gaur Premanandi All glories the assembled devotees All glories the assembled devotees All glories the assembled devotees All glories to Shri Shri Guru and Gauranga All glories to Srila Prabhupada Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 10, verse 25. And we're also going to read the next two verses, but this is the verse with the purport. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Devarshir me priyatamo. Yad imo dananat majo. Tatata sadaya yishyami. Yad gitam tan mahatmana. Devarshir me priyatamo. Yadimo dananat majo. Tatata sadayishyami. Yad gitam tan mahatmana. Please chant. Ladies. Devarshi, the great saint Devarshi Narada, may my Priyatama, most beloved devotee, yet, although, Imo, these two persons, Nala Kuvara and Manigriva, Danada Atmajo, born of a rich father and being non-devotees, taught the words of Devarshi, Tata, just so, Sarayishyami, I shall execute, because he wanted me to come face to face with the Yamal Arjuna, I shall do so. Yadgatim Gitam, as already stated, taught that Mahatmana by Narada Muni, translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Quote, although these two young men are the sons of the very rich Kuvera, and I have nothing to do with them, Devarshi Narada is my very dear and affectionate devotee, and therefore, because he wanted me to come face to face with them, I must do so for their deliverance. Please repeat. Although these two young men are the sons of the very rich Kuvera, and I have nothing to do with them, Devarshi Narada is my very dear and affectionate devotee. And therefore, because he wanted me to come face to face with them, I must do so for their deliverance. Purport. Nala Kuvara and Manigriva actually had nothing to do with devotional service or seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face, for this is not an ordinary opportunity. It is not that because one is very rich or learned or was born in an aristocratic family, one will be able to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face. This is impossible. But in this case, because Narada Muni desired that Nala Kuvara and Manigriva see Vasudeva face to face, the Supreme Personality of Godhead wanted to fulfill the words of his very dear devotee, Narada Muni. If one seeks the favor of a devotee, instead of directly asking favors from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one is very easily successful. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has therefore recommended Vaishnava Thakura Tomara Kukura, Bhulya Janahamore. Krishna Se Tomara, Krishna Dite Para. One should desire to become like a dog in strictly following a devotee. Krishna is in the hand of a devotee. Adurlabham Atma Bhakto. Thus, without the favor of a devotee, one cannot directly approach Krishna, what to speak of engaging in his service. Narottam Das Thakur therefore sings, Chadiya Vaishnava Seva Nishtara Pachyat Keva. Unless one becomes a servant of a pure devotee, one cannot be delivered from the material condition of life. In our Gaudiya Vaishnava society, following in the footsteps of Rupa Goswami, our first business is to seek shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, Ado Guru Ashraya. And I've been asked to read the next two verses, so text 26. I'll just read the Sanskrit and the translations. Ityantare narajunayo krishnastu yamayor yayo atmanirveshamatrena tiryagatam ulukalam. Translation, having thus spoken, Krishna soon entered between the two Arjuna trees, and thus the big mortar to which he was bound turned crosswise and stuck between them. Text 27. Somebody have a meter for this? I think it's like the Govindam prayers. Balena nishkaras yantag bagulukalam tad damodarena tarasokalitangri pando nishpetatu param vikram vipat vipetma sankha pravala vitapo krita chanda shabdo. Translation, by dragging behind him with great force the wooden mortar tied to his belly, the boy Krishna uprooted the two trees. By the great strength of the Supreme Person, the two trees, with their trunks, leaves, and branches, trembled severely and fell to the ground with a great crash. Purport. This is the pastime of Krishna known as Damodar Lila. Therefore, another of Krishna's names is Damodar, as stated in the Hare Vamsa. Sachat tenaiva nimnam tu Krishna vai dama bandhanat goste damodara iti gopibi parikiyate. Okay, going back to translation of text 25. This is Krishna speaking. Although these two young men are the sons of the very rich Kuvera, and I have nothing to do with them, Devarshi Narada is my very dear and affectionate devotee, and therefore, because he wanted me to come face to face with them, I must do so for their deliverance. Namo Shadaya, Krishna Mustafa, Shimati Bhakti, Nanda Samadhi, Jamani, Mustay Saras, Vati Devi, Warvani, Vijani, Nivashesha, Sami Vati, Vastavi, Starni. So, in this story of the deliverance of the Yamalarjuna trees, Krishna himself is speaking this verse, and he is then, after speaking this verse, he goes, baby Krishna goes between the two trees, and the mortar that's been tied to his waist gets stuck between the two trees, and by his extreme strength, he is able to knock over these two trees. So, in this incredible story, which is celebrated with great affection by all the devotees every year, when we celebrate the month of Kartik, we're celebrating the Damodar Lila, and I've noticed, and I'm sure many of you have noticed, that the numbers of devotees who attend that program increase. No one wants to miss out. It's a beautiful ceremony, and We love singing the Dhammadharastika and offering lamps to the deities, and it's also the time of year when all of our service gets magnified, and therefore we all want to do something extra to get the mercy at that time. So in this verse, the first verse 25 that we all read together, Krishna is very clearly saying that normally he would have nothing to do with these two young men. And it's only because of Narada Muni requesting that he come and, you know, see them face to face, that they are able to get his darshan. That this is not an ordinary thing. This is very great devotees get to see Krishna personally. And the point that first point that Srila Prabhupada is making is that there is no material qualification for seeing Krishna. It's not that if you're born in a rich family, aristocratic family, you have a great education, that this doesn't get you that privilege of coming face to face with Krishna. In fact, the only way is if another devotee, a great devotee who's dear to Krishna, if he or she recommends you. And so throughout this purport, Srila Prabhupada is really emphasizing that we cannot approach Krishna directly. It is only through his devotee. And therefore, if we think that we can just become a devotee of Krishna, that this is illusion, we have to go through a devotee. We have to become the devotee of the devotee. And of course, you know, das, under das, under das. The more we can serve the devotee of the devotee of the devotee of the devotee, like that. That this is glorious. And this is what is going to bring us closer to Krishna. So I just want to point out something about Sanskrit. I don't know if any... It took me years to notice this difference, but Nalakuvara is the son of Kuvera. It took me years to notice. I was thinking Nalakuvara, like his name is like his father. It's not. There's different letters. I just thought I'd like to point that out. And also, even the name Devarshi, some people say Devarishi. But if it was Devarishi, it would have a dot under the R, like Rishi. Because a dot under the R is an R-I sound. And without that dot, it's an R sound. So, I'm a proofreader. I like to notice these details. And if it helps you, great. If not, just ignore it. So Nalakuvara and Manigriva were able to see Krishna, who is also known as Vasudev, the son of Vasudev. And just because Krishna wanted to fulfill the words of his devotee, Narada Muni. So Prabhupada is giving us a formula here in the purport of how to be successful. Not only successful, but easily successful. He's saying to seek the favor of the devotee instead of directly approaching Krishna. And then he quotes Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And I was thinking this was a quote from O Vaishnava Thakura, but when I actually looked it up, it's not. It's actually Sharanagati 19. The second part, the Krishna Se Tumara, Krishna Dite Para, that line is repeated in Hey Vaishnava Thakura. But the other part, the first part, Vaishnava Thakura Tomara Kukura. Well, anybody who's ever lived in Mayapur knows what a kukura is. It's a dog. And so in this verse, Bhaktivinoda Thakura is actually wanting to be like a dog in the sense that being a like a dog to the guru is a good position to be in. It's humbling to be a dog and to be, you know, basically dependent on the master. Actually, there's a funny story that I can share with you that I had a wonderful pair of cartels that really had wonderful sound. I bought them back in 1975. And when I purchased them, and some other devotees were in the store in Navadvip, one of them was Uttama Shloka, and he actually helped me choose them. And I wasn't thinking, oh, he's a musician, and therefore he knows, but that was the case. And this was such a wonderful sound, and I was able to share these cartels on more than two occasions with Srila Prabhupada. Like, I would place them on his Vyasasan. I did this once in Hyderabad. I put them on the Vyasasan when he arrived in Hyderabad for the Pandal program. Well, when he had arrived from the airport. And there wasn't any other cartels around, so we picked them up and played them. And there were just other occasions. I was just so thrilled to see Prabhupada play these cartels. And then I lost them. It was one of the few things that I really valued and I lost. So I went to the store and I bought another pair. But this time, Uttama Shloka wasn't there. So I was just choosing myself, and I'm not really a musician. The man in the store was telling me these are wonderful. I believed him. And I had engraved on them, this is the embarrassing part, I'd engraved on them my name on one side, and then Prabhupada's dog on the other half. Then I placed them on the Vyasasan in Mayapur. And Prabhupada sat, you know, it was Guru Puja, Prabhupada sat down. Fortunately, it wasn't festival time. It was just the Mayapur devotees, wasn't a very big crowd. Prabhupada picked up the cartels and just tested them, you know, ting, ting, see what they were like. Shook his head, no. Tried again, ting, ting, shook his head, no. And he put them down. And then Tamal Krishna Maharaj was there. He was his secretary, so he picked them up, started playing them. He didn't like them either. And he put them down. And then Hari Sori Prabhu, who was Prabhupada's servant, he picked them up and he played them. He was okay with it. He's probably like me. He's not a musician. I was so embarrassed. I think there was a moment too where Prabhupada read what was written on it. Anyway, it was very embarrassing. But I guess you could say that I had somewhat of a sincere desire to be Prabhupada's dog. In one lecture, Prabhupada talked about that relationship. Actually, the interesting thing, this was a couple of days before I got initiated. Prabhupada was speaking in New York. He was speaking on the Brahma Samhita. And he says, Krishna can be delivered by his devotee, Atma Bhakto. Therefore, you have to take shelter of Krishna's devotee. That is parampara system. If you want to understand Krishna, if you want to have Krishna, and then he kind of trails off and he goes, Bhakti Vinod Thakur has sung a very nice song. He's praying to a Vaishnava. Vaishnava Thakura Tomara Kukura Bhuliyat Janahamore. Sir, Vaishnava, you are Thakur. You are as good as Krishna, our God. Kindly accept me as your dog. Vaishnava Thakura Tomara Kukura Bhuliya Jana. Kukura means dog. Just like dog follows the master very faithfully. We have to learn something from the dog. The dog also is a teacher. How to become faithful to the master. That teaching we can have even from the dog. He is very satisfied. Whatever food you give, he'll not protest. Still, he'll remain faithful. There are so many good qualifications of a dog. So, this is our position in relation to the guru. We want to become faithful. And actually, this point Prabhupada is making about being satisfied is interesting, because that is not a small thing, to be satisfied. And that's, you know, one thing we want to be when we're serving. Of course, we want to be satisfied. We don't want to feel like I'm never doing enough, or that my service isn't being accepted, or any number of things. Our mind can come up with so many things. And but to be satisfied is being in that position of like a dog, like the servant to the master, and whatever he gives us, that is satisfying. So, you know, again, Prabhupada is saying, one should desire to become like a dog and strictly following a devotee. Krishna is in the hand of a devotee. So, especially at the end of this purport, Prabhupada is really emphatically saying that we must take shelter of a devotee, and specifically, we must actually become a disciple. He's saying our first business is to seek shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. So, you know, what does it really mean to take shelter? And so in a lecture in Vrindavan in 1976, November of 76, Prabhupada said, if you take shelter, upashraya shraya, if you take shelter of a devotee of Krishna, then Krishna is pleased to reveal himself. That is Krishna's special power. He can be seen even by the Kirata Hunandara Andra, and he can, which I probably means, Kirata means like Malecha, is that correct? Yeah. That also means like Sudra, or but lower than Sudra, that means. These are different races? Okay. And are we below those races because we're born in the West? In any case, we're in that group, right? That area of fallen. So he cannot be... But then Prabhupada, he's saying he can be seen even by the Kirata Hunandra Andra, and he cannot be seen even by the most purified Brahmana. That is his option. He is not exposed to be seen by everyone. That is not possible. So we have to learn through bhakti yoga how to see Krishna, how to understand him. Tad vijnanartham sagarum eva bigachet samit prani sochiam brahmanishtam. These are required. You cannot jump over Krishna and see Krishna. That is not possible. So this verse from the, what's it called? Mukundara Upanishad? Mundak Upanishad. Prabhupada, this is one verse that Prabhupada repeated again and again and again. So we can always tell when Prabhupada repeats things over and over again that this is really important. And so, let's see, there's a lecture Prabhupada gave in Bombay in 1974. And I was reading this lecture. I was seeing how not only does Prabhupada repeat this, you know, like say, repeat this verse in many, many times, many lectures, many times in his purports. But in this lecture, I feel this urgency that Prabhupada had, and you'll see what I'm talking about, because he repeats some things over more than once. So he wrote, the process is tad vinartam sagarum eva bigachat. And that literally means to learn the transcendental subject matter from the guru, and then eva bigachat, certainly we must approach. So this is a Vedic injunction. If you want to know Krishna, if you want to know the ultimate goal, the ultimate knowledge of the Vedas, Vedascha Saver eva aham eva vedya, Bhagavad Gita 15:15. Vedic knowledge means to understand Krishna. So if you want to understand Krishna, it is a science. You should approach the guru. You must accept guru. Who is guru? Samit pani sochiyam brahmanishtam. So just so you know, the samit pani means to carry wood in his hands. It's the literal translation. And sotriyam is one who is expert in the Vedic conclusion, in understanding the Vedic conclusion. And brahmanishtam is constantly engaged in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Prabhupada is saying, guru's qualification is that he's Kshatriyam. He has heard from his guru perfectly. That is guru. Kshatriyam and Brahmanishtam and firmly fixed up at the lotus feet of Krishna. These are two qualifications. You cannot move from that firmness. You cannot move. And he has heard about Krishna from the authorities of guru. Evam paraparam praptam. That is guru. So that is recommended. If you want to know Krishna, then tad vigyanartam. In order to understand that science, you must approach guru. This is the process. You cannot understand Krishna sitting in your parlor and speculating on your so-called educational qualification. That is not possible. That is not possible. You must surrender. You must surrender. This is Prabhupada's words, exactly. Sarvadhamam parikyajya mam. So you must give up all these ideas that, quote, I am Hindu, I am Muslim, I am Christian, I'm Indian, I am American, I am white, I am black. These designations you have to give up. Sarvapati vinir muktam tat paratvenam nirmalam. You have to become Krishnaite and pure. So did you all hear that urgency, that emphatic message that Prabhupada is giving his audience and including us, that we don't have any material qualifications? He's saying that is not possible. That is not possible. You must surrender. You must surrender. So I would like to specifically speak to those devotees who are not initiated yet, and it's specifically our youth, what we call our second generation, our guru coolies. So very happy to see that there are some here today. Probably some listening online as well. So my message is to you to take Srila Prabhupada's words to heart. I mean, it's very enlivening to see our youth stepping forward and making the commitment and getting initiated. You know, Srila Prabhupada is the Shiksha Guru of everyone in the, you know, Hare Krishna movement. And his system, you know, he's obviously, he's talking about following the parampara. He wants this movement to go on in a pure way. And so his disciples, some of his disciples have agreed to take the service of accepting disciples, and they do accept disciples on behalf of Prabhupada. Every initiation I've been to in recent years, they always are saying, I'm accepting you on behalf of Srila Prabhupada. They're not thinking it, now I'm guru. They're simply the servant of Srila Prabhupada. And of course, I'm a very proud mother of a devotee who just got initiated. So my son, Rasacharya, just 1 month ago, took initiation from Radhana Swami and received the name Rasacharya Das. Maharaj said he didn't have the heart to change such a beautiful name. So it really does make a mother very happy. I think every parent wants of course, we always want the best for our children. I mean, every parent in the world wants the best for their children, but devotees, we are especially wanting to see our children step forward. We know that the youth are our future. We are not going to be here forever. It's pretty obvious. It's our philosophy to, you know, prepare to leave this material world. And who are we going to leave it to but the next generation? And we want that generation to be very strong. We want our children to basically, you know, step up to the plate. And there was one devotee I was recently having a conversation with, and he said to me, I've been concerned about how we are training our children to be faithful followers of Srila Prabhupada. He said, there's so many other choices out there. You know, in the early days, we didn't have that variety of choices. It was pretty clear. We're either in the Hare Krishna movement, or we weren't. I mean, there was other alternative movements to the mainstream religions, but they were drastically different and didn't have any of the philosophy. I mean, there was other groups. People did join other groups. You know, there was the Moonies, there was the Guru Maharajis, there was Transcendental Meditation, there was, the one who had affairs with all his secretaries. anyway, there was other choices. But if you wanted to be a Vaishnava, there was only Srila Prabhupada to take shelter of. And, you know, we want our children, as I said, to be faithful to Srila Prabhupada. And so this devotee was really expressing concern, like, let's train the youth at our school. You know, in fact, if you think about it, the Catholic Church has this saying that if you give me a child till he's 7 years old, he'd be a Catholic forever. So if that's true, and I think they have a lot of experience in that area, that means if we're training children at very young age, then they're most likely to stick with the process and become very strong devotees. So, of course, the best thing for a parent is to be a great example and, you know, be, you know, following their vows. But still, you know, we can't just depend on that. There's training, and at every level, children and adults both, there's a great need for specific training. A few years ago here in this community, we were having some meetings about devotee care. It isn't that this society is just the structure. It's made up of people. I mean, the buildings are there, but what's the purpose? It's to give us a facility to meet together. And this concept of devotee care is so important. If devotees aren't feeling loved, if they don't feel taken care of, if they don't feel connected, if they just think, oh, I'm on my own and no one cares, I mean, this is not going to help that devotee's spiritual life, and it's certainly not going to help us as a society. We're one big team. And if we can feel connected, that's great. Now, the example we have of a really effective community is the Chopadi Temple in India. And, I mean, they have certain advantages that they're all Indian, for instance. You know, they mostly have one guru. There's certain dynamics that, you know, we're not the same. But that doesn't mean that we can't figure out our own system that's going to work here for this unique community. And this is a unique community. We have an enormous number of people, over 1,000 devotees, men, women, children, and we are mostly living independently of the temple. We also have a very large number of senior devotees. There's about 200 devotees in this community initiated over 35 years ago by Srila Prabhupada, and it's something we have to look at, like how to make everybody feel connected. And so I would still, even though several years ago when we had these meetings, we didn't come up with a plan that worked, but it's still needed. And if there's devotees who would like to be part of creating, you know, brainstorming really what's going to work, because all the goals that are fulfilled by the spiritual counseling system in Chopadi are goals that we all want. You know, it's going to make this community, which is already wonderful, even more dynamic. And whatever enthuses the devotees, whatever makes us inspired, is really wanted. And I just always feel like if a group of intelligent people get together and, you know, look at some situation we can always make it better. Like, we can look at, like, what aspects of the community is working. Okay, great, let that go on. But what's not working? And let's see what we can do to make a difference there. And I just have that faith that intelligent devotees get together and we can come up with some ideas and implement them. And there's books put out now. This system of the counseling system, spiritual counseling system, has actually been tried in Russia. So it's not that Chopadis are only example. And in Russia, they're not Indian, and they don't all have one guru. There's a variety of gurus. So those, you know, I was always thinking, okay, the only reason it works is because of these dynamics. But in Russia, it's actually been working extremely well. So I just really think we can actually do this. It's not a forced thing. It's certainly voluntary. And it's basically, it's satsang. It's getting together with other devotees, but getting to know each other on a more deep level, and therefore trust builds. And Prabhupada always talks about this, the society of love and trust. So we want to implement that. There's so many other things I could say, but I will conclude with this and ask if there's any questions or corrections or... Yes, Dharmaraj Prabhu.
You were talking about being the dog of the guru. I just want to share one story. Back in the 90s, when I was in the Miami temple, one of my services was to go to the food bank and pick up boga, like twice a week. So they gave me a station wagon, very transcendental wagon. It had a squeal. When you're driving, you can hear from about a mile away. And middle of the summer, no AC, so the windows were rolled down. And I had to stop one day at the toll booth because there was a queue of cars lined there. And whilst pulling up, there was a young black girl on the side of the road there. And she started walking towards this station wagon as I was pulling up. And when I stopped, she walked right over, stuck her head into the driver window, looked at me, and she said, "Hey, I love your dog chain. That's my neck bead." And she walked away. So then I was stuck for a minute afterwards. I thought, oh, you know, like, she understood. So anyway, you were talking in your class. You mentioned that without the, you know, the intervention of the devotee and cause of the devotee, that you don't get the mercy of Krishna. Sometimes there are extreme cases, or we can see that probably the cases are hidden. Like, for example, yesterday was the disappearance of two great devotees, Raghunandan Das Thakur and Vamsidas Babaji. In both cases, at least what is described, that they had no guru, for example. Vamsidas Babaji, he had, within his heart, he accepted Gaurakishore Das Babaji as his guru, even though he wasn't formally initiated. But we found that he had a lot of lila with the deities. He used to always chant Hare Krishna and with his beads in his right hand. He never took his bead bag out, and everything else he did with his left hand, including tying the deities up, Radha and Krishna, every day, and tying them with a rope and throwing them into the river to go and bathe. You would tell them, "You go and bathe, that I'm busy, I have to chant my rounds." When he finished, you would pull them back out, put them on the altar, and whatever devotees, people give fruits, you'd put a basket in front of them and said, "You eat and clean up, I have to go out to the market to get more vegetables and get more boga." When he comes back, you would see that all his skins would be there and they're kind of neatly arranged, all cleaned up, tidy up.
Wow.
So sometimes there are cases, because we haven't seen where he was being physically intervened by a devotee, even though within his heart he accepted Gaurakishore Das Babaji. Also, we also have the story of Raghunandan Das Thakur, he was just a 5-year-old boy. His father was Mukunda Das, which there were three brothers that appeared in the early 14th century before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And so Mukunda's son was Raghunandan Das, and they had a family deity of Gopinath. This was in not far from Katwa, a place called Shrikanda. And he used to worship this deity. So one day he had to go out to meet someone. So he told his son that this deity has been in our family generations for many, many generations. And just like your mom cooks and feeds you every day, you have to feed this deity. So I want you to feed the deity today. So the little boy took up the offering. He saw what his dad used to do every day. So he took up the offering, went there to the altar, and he told the deity, now please eat. So there are different descriptions how that went on. One described that he picked up a stick after the deity wasn't eating. This one described that he had tears in his eyes, that please, please eat. My father said you have to eat. So the deity ate all the boga. When the father came home, he asked, did you feed the deity? He said, yes. He says, so can I have some Mahaprasadam? So he asked, what Mahaprasadam? That the deity ate everything. So the father was stunned. He said, this can't be so, that they normally glance. So anyway, he contemplated for a few days, wondering, well, is this boy telling a lie? But he knew that this boy was always truthful. So he decided to test this boy again on another occasion. So on several days after, he told him, well, I have to go again, so please make the offering. And he snuck in through the back way. He hid behind and saw looking at the boy, see what he was doing. So he saw the boy went, took the offering, and he told the deity, please eat. And the deity started physically eating. So then he came out from his hiding spot. When the deity saw him, the deity stopped eating. And from then to now, you can still see half a laddu in the deity's hand. Mm-hmm. So that's one example of a reciprocation, but we didn't see where the boy was, you know, formally intervened, even though, well, you can say his dad was a pure devotee, but there are some extreme cases,
right,
which not all of us are fortunate to have.
Thank you for sharing that. But as far as, like, that case of accepting the guru without formally accepting, that is also an extreme case, really. We don't... Yes, guru, but I mean the concept. No, the other story he was telling. He was saying that there. But what I'm saying is that it's like getting the honorary degree, right? We don't go through life expecting that honorary degree. We take the course and we study, and you know, if that honorary degree comes to some people, that's fine. But we. You know, Prabhupada never recommended that we not take formal initiation. That's definitely encouraged.
Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in one morning walk, he says, initiation is not something external formalities, because mm-hmm. it's required conscious surrender. Mm-hmm. There has to be teachings from the heart of guru to disciple. So in that case, we can see that both of them had a guru. Otherwise, if we don't understand this aspect, then he gave an example. Breathing is very important. And nose is important so long we are breathing. But if my nose is cut off, does it mean I should stop breathing and die? He said, open your mouth and breathe. So otherwise, our guru parampara, there is some gap. You will say Bhaktivinoda Thakur to Baladev Vidyabhushan to Narottam Das Thakur. You know, you can go on. But that's not how the guru parampara should be seen. Guru parampara should be seen that internal essence, that coming down, it flowing from one person to another.
Okay.
So it's not an external.
Okay, I agree. I'm just, but when in training up our youth, we don't want them to follow that route. This is like the the honorary degree. I completely accept, and we completely accept that yes, that is guru disciple, And for us, we want both, the internal and external.
That's good.
Yeah. Okay. Rakanda Prabhu.
Thank you, Madam Mahamaya, for your very nice class and for encouraging us to stay the course and shoot for the rhinoceros, as Srila Prabhupada said. So also in this path, I have been thinking about it of late, and also considering how much we are so fortunate in this community in particular, and just in general in ISKCON, to have so many sincere and senior devotees around us. So in our aspirations to become fixed up to accept guru, because we hear that not only should we find a qualified guru, we should also become qualified disciples. And that's really been my struggle in this endeavor to chant japa, you know, take rest early, get up early, which is really the only means to become stable enough to get those, you know, japa, is in this endeavor, we have to take association. You know, we hear that there's Diksha Guru and Shiksha Guru. So also taking inspiration from other devotees, this verse talks about accepting Guru. This is the primary means, or the only means by which we can attain Krishna. At the same time, shouldn't we see all devotees, sincere devotees, as our Shiksha Guru? And not just focusing, like when I hear these verses, normally I think about Diksha Guru. Oh, we should find that pure devotee who is so qualified that coming in the parampara to be our Diksha Guru. But I would also just like to ask or emphasize, you know, shouldn't we also give the same respect, you know, Krishna says, he who says he is my devotee is not my devotee, but only who says that they are and shows that they are the devotee of my devotee, he is my devotee. So in the same way, we should also have that same respect and honor for each Vaishnava, each sincere devotee, and treat them almost the same as Guru or even Krishna. I'm just wondering about that. You know, how should we see and treat and think of each devotee around us, you know, in this way?
Well, it's a very, very nice attitude to be able to see all devotees as Shiksha. And actually, not even just devotees. I mean, we can learn in interactions with non-devotees. There's always some lesson to be learned. And then in the Srimad Bhagavatam, when Narayani was here, was it last summer? And she was talking from the Bhagavatam, the 24 gurus. I mean, you know, the sun, the moon, the trees, the river. I mean, just there's so much to learn from everyone. But if we, I don't know if I want to say my opinion here, but I just think there's too much emphasis on I don't want to say it. We do want to respect everyone, and if we're open and willing to learn, we can learn something from everyone. But if we can have that respect, that's awesome, because then we're put in a position where we can actually get some benefit from the association of every devotee. Yeah. Okay, we're way over time, but we have to go to this side. Okay, Nandini Kishori Devi Dasi. This is the last question.
Sorry. I just heard that somebody say there were gaps in our Guru Parampara. Did I hear it right? But they were all initiated by their Guru Maharajas. None of them were not initiated.
But he's saying in the disciplic succession and how it...
But they were all initiated, all of them, Narahari, I mean, everybody was initiated, Narottam Thakur were initiated. And all of them you can trace back to Lord Chaitanya and Ishwarapuri.
Initiation means internal current of this truth that Prabhupada talks about, Srotiyam and Brahmanishtam. That's division, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, that it has to come through. Externally, they may not appear like they are, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur got initiated, he wrote in his own diary, from Bipin Bihari. But we accept Jagannath Das Babaji as his guru. Why? Because the essence of Mahaprabhu's teaching coming from Jagannath Das Babaji to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, even though they met only two times, there is no formal initiation, but he is the guru of Bhaktivinoda Thakur.
Okay, thank you. Okay, last word, Madam Mahaprabhu.
I was just noticing, it's not for the extraordinarily pure personalities that, I mean, for the most part, Prabhupada would say, you can just chant Hare Krishna, but you have to avoid the 10 offenses, and if you're pure, there's no problem. He says, but for most of the people, we're not. So for myself, I've noticed that it's not that when things are all going perfect, it's making a vow, making a commitment, and you make it in front of everybody, make it in front of the deities, in front of the fire. It's trying to register how serious it is, because it's when things aren't going good that you need that shelter, that you know that you have the strength of the vows, you have the strength of the other commitment that you made. So all these other points, they're also valid, because we really need all the help we can get. And one other little point is that Prabhupada would always say, I'm praying for your advancement. So when he would say that, you know, we just thought maybe it's a figure of speech, you know, but just like in today's verse, when Prabhupada would pray for our advancement, Krishna took that seriously. You know, I mean, that's their connection. Mm-hmm. So also for us, it's a nice habit to get into, is pray for the other devotees' advancement. You know, if someone's mm-hmm. disturbing me or someone, instead of becoming upset, you pray for their advance, because once they advance, there's actually never any more problems. So the real solution is always be everyone's. It's recommended in Bhagavad Gita, friend everyone, to actually get in the habit of whatever we can do. But if we're not conscious of it, we may actually be cursing them by not offering them that. There's other elements that come into play. So.
Okay. Thank you. And just the final thing, just like you said, like, we need all the help we can get. Again, it's taking the commitment in the heart, which many, you know, like I would say every Gurukuli grows up in ISKCON, they have that love for Prabhupada, and then taking it to the next level, which is to make that formal commitment. Like that's really, and then you'll get strength.
Initiation until the goal is focused, because most of the person, jivas, conditioned soul, do not focus on goal of life. What is that Krishna prem? If the goal is focused, then the respect to the Vaishnavas, the developing love for Krishna, accepting Guru, all falls automatically. But Prabhupada repeated again, I find in not one places, many places, even in Bhagavad Gita, 7 times, that because goal is not focused, that's why all the disturbance comes. Mm. So we need to focus on the what is that Krishna prem that we are searching for.
Okay, thanks. And I know that one more thing is about the Gurukulis. I know that they have a problem with japa. I mean, we cannot make a commitment to follow the, you know, the principles and chant 16 rounds unless, you know, you're doing it and willing to do it. And this was brought up at a japa retreat. And Satchinanda Maharaj, I mean, specifically about the youth, like how to encourage the youth to chant japa. And we were just talking about this at the women's japa monthly gathering. And one of the things, you know, Satchinanda Maharaj said was, this is Lord Chaitanya's instruction. So if we really, you know, want to take shelter of Lord Chaitanya, this is his instruction. And it's just, you know, we can see it, if you want to see it as your personal time when you're talking to Krishna, that's the way my son has expressed it, then it's not just a big burden that's, you know, something I have to do out of duty, but the opportunity is there to actually have a taste for the holy name. And when you meet people who have that taste, you see it's possible, then, why not go for it? Okay, we're finished. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Glorious Prabhupada.